welcome to our Good Place podcast that is run by Good Place Innovators, a team of researchers, educators, and student fellows passionate about transforming communities. Our project focuses on the notion of entrepreneurial embeddedness, the emotional connection to our place, and co-creation of value with our communities. We hope to contribute to entrepreneurial learning, making the place-based pedagogy a central point for the growth of future entrepreneurs and innovators. My name is Radka Newton. I'm a senior teaching fellow in strategy and innovation at Lancaster University Management School. I'm also an education service designer and a lead of Good Place Innovators project funded by the Enterprise Educators UK. In this podcast, we have inspired educators to incorporate place-based pedagogy to their curriculum. We debated the notion of civic university and also the role of local council in injecting pride and rejuvenating community spirit into our place. Today, we welcome our first entrepreneur, a CEO of local group Circular One, a serial entrepreneur even, and a real placemaker and a place lover, Stuart McLennan. Stuart, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Radka. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be fun.
Well, before we speak about your business and your business model, I would like to quote a line from a research that we debated in our very first podcast. You have to cherish the place where you do business. What's your take on this line as a local entrepreneur?
So I think for me, place, as an entrepreneur, you're going to go in and typically disrupt. Yep. You're going to challenge the norm, challenge the status quo, probably spook some people now and again, and put things forward that wouldn't normally be thought about. That's kind of the whole point, along with what's there. So that's always really good fun, right? That's fun. But place gives you the opportunity to set the ground to have the permission to do that. And what I mean by that, I think it's you know, if you look at place means that you've got to commit to be there. So the people you're going to be working with, investing with, developing with, see you there and say, okay, this person's coming back. This person's bringing people here. They put a business here. They've invested. They've employed local people. But place allows you to do that. Place gives you the ability to build relationships, develop an understanding, build respect, and build trust. And I come back to, if you want to be that super disruptor, if you want to have that fun, if you want to create that change agenda, you've got to get the basics right. You've got to build that relationship. You've got to have that understanding. You've got to know what's going on. And that gives you, hopefully, by getting place right and that relationship right, permission to then go on and do the things you want to do. And then they become effective. Otherwise, if you don't invest in place and you don't build that relationship, don't build that trust, you're just that mad guy that's turned up with a daft idea that nobody takes seriously. So you don't get buy-in. You don't build opportunities. So place is absolutely critical to success for me.
And it's lovely how you talk about the returning back to the place, building the trust. And so let's talk about your business model. And I know that everything you do really evolves around the efforts to bring some new life to fairly deprived parts of the community in Cumbria. And I wonder, where does this drive come from?
So for me, making a difference is at the heart of everything I do. Circular One as a business is all about sustainability. And sustainability is a big word that's bandied around a lot. But, you know, my background, I grew up in the backwaters of Argyll. I grew up in a community built around forestry, farming, and a little bit of fishing and a bit of tourism. But forestry and farming at the heart of it. And so, you know, for those industries to work, to thrive, you had to invest in them. You had to look after the land. You had to nurture. You had to feed. You had to and that's what place means. You know, it means you have to be there. You have to invest, and that's part of making a difference, because you can't make a difference if you don't invest. If that makes sense. So it comes from sustainable business, sustainable practice, sustainable culture allows you to then go and make a difference, and using that reference, that discipline, that experience, that background, going into somewhere where there's a challenge, you know that if you're going to deliver change in anything, anywhere, you have to think about it sustainably. Going and delivering change because it's your indulgence or somebody's asked you to do it, so what? You've got to take the community with you. And to do that, you need to think about, from a sustainability perspective, you need to think about it from a longevity, legacy. And so making a difference in challenging communities is about creating that longevity. And that's the stimulant for me, because making a difference is about long-term making a difference, not just a flash in the pan. So what, you know, it's build something that actually means something to people locally, people buy into, and it becomes long-term, viable, sustainable. And so, it's using that discipline, that background for me as a person, as the baseline.
It's lovely how you talk about your own influence from your own upbringing, what you saw around you. So I guess that's probably where your drive and passion also for West Cumbria comes in.
Very much so. I grew up in the west coast of Scotland, as I said, in the backwaters of Argyll, and surrounded by a lot of elderly family members, or not elderly, older family members who had lots of life experience. And there's some two huge influences in my life, my grandfather and my great uncle. One was a farmer and one was a philosopher, arguably, in his own way. And between them, they set this mandate, you know, have ambition, but have ambition with respect. And so, you know, I always think about respect at the heart of everything, but you have to have ambition, because when you live in a rural backwater community, it's incredibly easy just to follow the norm. And then you that's fine, because you then go through the kind of natural humdrum of life that the majority of people are quite happy with. But I wasn't. I wanted to make a difference. And these two sort of major guides and sort of influences in my life set that mandate of go forth and have ambition, but with respect. Because if you think about respect at the start of everything you do, then you'll do it with that. Whatever you deliver, you'll be thinking about who's that with, what's it for, why, what's the impact, what's the benefit, what's the legacy.
And you've had businesses in very different sectors, different industries. And what about this ambition about the future of health and well-being? You know, where does this come from? I know you are really driven to reinstate some pride in the local community. So what is your ambition for your business, you know, and how is this aligned with that place and that, you know, in relation to health?
Again, everything's about making a difference. And why have I got myself involved in health? It started working with my colleague, a chap called Chris Stanley, working on a project using the lateral flow technology to identify progesterone levels in milk, which meant more sustainable dairy production, right? Sustainable food production. That was the catalyst. And then, you know, COVID lands, and it's in my view at the time, it was about time for business to say, do you know what? Let's not go and take a furlough payment. Let's step up and make a contribution to the country, to the world. So that was about for me saying, okay, we're here. What do you want us to do? I knew we could have, we had this fantastic science that Chris had brought forward that had been used in TB screening around the world. So we got that flipped across, that supported with COVID. So we had this quick, affordable test. How do we help? And that how do we help then led into working with major organizations, Sellafield and BA Systems in Cumbria. And for me, that gave us the mandate to say, okay, working with those organizations, you know, they talked about, you know, COVID is the burning platform of human health. COVID is only a factor of the risk in the management of COVID is a determinant factor of the health of the community. So it set the mandate to say, let's now invest in this. Let's build on the ability to manage a viral risk like COVID, to say, no, let's take the principle of screening. Let's take the principle of being in place. Let's take the principle of building skill sets locally. And then that allows us to deliver a long-term health agenda, because screening means essentially measuring and managing risk. And that's the starting point to proactive health. If you measure and then create management, you then start putting controls and programs in place that increase the predictability, increase the ability for the individual to take control of their health and well-being, and ultimately reduce the burden on the NHS.
Mm. And you based yourself in Barrow in Furness, and obviously you influenced the local players there, BA Systems. You've worked in partnership with them, with Sellafield. But that's quite a big challenge. Like you must like challenges, right?
I love challenges, and I love Barrow. Barrow is so unique. You know, I mean, we have probably one of the most important defence programmes in our country, based in Barrow. And so therefore, there's not an option but success. Barrow has to evolve and grow from a health perspective, because the mandate has been set by government, BA Systems, means the mandate has been set by government to deliver the submarine program. And more now than ever, we can see that in the world we're in today, that actually the submarine defense program, ironically, is all about essentially creating a deterrent, and it's a proactive deterrent. So actually, that mandate carries through to proactive health, which carries through to, okay, how can we therefore then influence and support the community? So if you've got this catalyst saying, let's work with a major employer who has to succeed, it doesn't have a choice. There's no plan B. So when there's no plan B, everybody's got to put their lean in and be part of the success. And that for me is the perfect mandate. You know, there's no room for anything other than success, which creates a great environment for entrepreneurial spirit. It creates a great environment for partnerships. It forces partnerships, collaborations, public, private, and third sector collaborations coming together. You know, we're starting to work with KDAS, the drug and alcohol charity, to look at new approaches to supporting drug and alcohol problems. I love that. That's a legacy that COVID started. And if we keep thinking about innovation partnerships based around saying there's no plan B for Barrow, we must deliver plan A, that just feels like the perfect mandate for the entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, I myself had the privilege to work with you and with the company for quite a while. And, you know, I've always been struck by your ability to sort of navigate these relationships that you talk about within the place, understanding all the dynamics, the community needs. And it's been quite complex. There are political players, you know, the government is involved, the NHS. And you've always made the effort to do the right thing, and also to do it in the right way. I mean, have you always had this approach, and is it something that can be learned?
It goes back to that word respect. When you're invited into any situation, anywhere, social, business, whatever, any need-based or anything, lead with respect. And when you get a chance to work with such amazing stakeholders, we just focused on lead with respect, which means that we listen, we consult, we make sure that whatever we bring forward is something that is right for the community, because we've listened and worked with those really important parties to make sure that it's a coalition of ambition based around doing the right things.
Well, Stuart, listen, I'm going to swap jobs with you. What do you reckon? So imagine that you had to redesign our curriculum, because, you know, with your expertise, how would you look at that, what we teach in entrepreneurship? What would you do, you know, how would you approach this to incorporate that local agenda, that sense of respect? You know, what would your approach be?
That's an interesting challenge. And I think, my goodness, putting me into anything to do with academia could be intriguing, to say the least. I think I'm a massive believer that the SME economy of this country is the bedrock, and it's the sector that's there. It's a needs driven sector. You know, corporates sit on the back of that, but when you think about the link between SMEs, third sector, and local authorities, and I see that the sort of the relationship between those three working together, public sector, SMEs, and third sector, and I would be really keen to say, how do we make sure we capture all the ability in there? Because the future business person in this country is going to have to think about post-Brexit challenges. It's going to have to think about post-COVID challenges. Have to think about inflation for quite some time, cost of money, ESG goals, the climate. And so therefore, we're going to have a really refreshing rethink at times about how we deliver entrepreneurial business and business management. And that's going to be about increasing the confidence to take bold steps and do something different. But if you've got those sounding posts between the SME economy, the third sector, you know, churches do amazing things in communities, and as a great example, and the public sector, keep those sounding boards at the core would be my thing of making sure that the barometer is always led by them. Back to respect.
Yeah, and it's almost like revisiting how we operated in the past, when I think about how my grandparents lived in a small village, and there would be the church, the school, you know. So maybe we are coming back to the basics as well, about how communities operated before.
Yeah, communities bring resilience. A strong community is like a strong sports team. They're successful because they work together, they know each other, they work for each other, and that creates resilience. And more now than ever, we need resilience. And if you have resilience with entrepreneurial spirit, great things happen. That's why the best SMEs are a balance of both of those things, I believe.
So I guess you are hired, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think you can change our curriculum and input, and it would be great. Maybe we can work on it together. But you know, what I really want to ask you, and we're coming to the end of the episode, but I'm really curious about what is your place and where do you personally feel placed and happy?
So I have a favorite place, and it's the Isle of Islay. And I go to Islay because Islay is a real interesting place. You have the most amazing whiskey industry, which has got amazing heritage and created a great legacy. You have the most amazing scenery, white sand beaches. You have the most amazing people who are pragmatic through and through. You have dynamic tourism running right through it. But it has to have a reset as well about producing whiskey from using a much lower carbon strategy. It has to embrace the new world. But it's equally somewhere to go and look at that change agenda, but also go and walk the dogs on the beach, clear the head, enjoy a whiskey. But actually, you know, it's a place to go and we all must have this, somewhere to go and let the brain do the reset, let the creativity come back to the fore and come away from the coalface.
That sounds beautiful. And Stuart, what can we look forward to from Circular One? What are the plans for the future?
Circular One's a very exciting time. We've taken what we've learned in the last 2 years, and we are really focusing very heavily on helping businesses deliver proactive health agenda. So you will see coming from us very exciting programs of work-based health programs, and it's all based in proactive health. It's based in the principle of place, having somewhere to go to, having somebody to talk to, using your health screening models and diagnostics so you deliver a proactive program, which means that, you know, by being successful in these approaches, partnering public, partnering private, partnering third, partnering every turn, don't reinvent the wheel, create coalition. That's where Circular One Health's going. We have a platform called Me and My Health, and that's going to be the platform for all of that. And it will be about bringing together all of those sectors and the individual, making sure that the individual feels empowered and responsible for their own health and well-being. And that comes from education, that comes from support, that comes from having somewhere to go and talk to, somebody to pick up the phone to, because we have to make that level of investment and business must make that level of investment. We can't do this all leaning on the NHS. It's not fair in the NHS. We all must play our part. So this is our contribution. We've learned that that's something we do well, and it's something we're going to invest very heavily in with partners. And yeah, you look forward to some pretty interesting things coming this autumn.
Well, we have a lot to look forward to, and we'll be watching the progress of the company like hawks. Well, thank you so much for your time, Stuart. It's been great having you with us. And thank you for inspiring ourselves, the educators, the students, to be mindful about the place of business and to be collaborative and also consult local communities. I've enjoyed your reflection on trust and respect and making places better and better for us and for the communities. So that's all for today, and I hope you enjoyed our debate. Feel free to drop us a message, comment or recommendation of a resource, initiative or any idea for our project. And until next time, take care.